My name is Mike Morgan.
The title of our message is God Gave Them Up. Our text, Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. Have you ever given up on an idea or project? After carefully considering all the facts, you realize it won't work and move on. Have you ever lost hope in a person? After considering the fact that the Bible has been rejected, your love spurned, and a life of sin chosen, you separate yourself from them with the prayer that they would come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. Three times in Romans chapter 1, we find the phrase, God gave them up. Verse 24, God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own bodies, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 26, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And verse 28 in the American Standard Version, and even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up unto a reprobate mind. The word reprobate means outcast, depraved, perverted, opposed to God, not standing the test, not approved, spiritually sick. A reprobate mind does things which are not convenient, not fitting, or becoming. It is one thing for a man to give up on his fellow man, but it is tragic beyond measure when God gives up on certain men and women. This morning, we will show how easy it is to develop a foolish, darkened heart. Let's begin with Romans chapter 1, verse 17. The righteousness of God through the gospel is revealed from the faith of the Old Testament into the faith of the New Testament. There has never been a time when God was not made known to man through some means or manner. Even when Babylon conquered Judah and destroyed the temple, the knowledge of God was made known to Babylon through Daniel and the three Hebrew children. After eating grass like an ox, Nebuchadnezzar lifted his eyes to heaven and said, I bless the Most High and praise and honor Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and His ways justice, and those who walk in pride He is able to put down. Following the captivity, the synagogue was established, where Jew and Gentile had the opportunity to listen to the Old Testament read. This is indicated by the wise men coming from the east asking, Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. How would Gentiles know to be looking for the King of the Jews unless they had heard of it in the synagogue? In Luke chapter 7, a centurion builds a synagogue for the Jews. His love for the nation of Israel and understanding that salvation was of the Jews came from listening to the Old Testament read in the synagogue. The idea that God forgot about the rest of the world during the period of Judaism is contrary to the character and nature of God. Starting with Adam, God wanted faith to be passed down from generation to generation. And when men failed to teach their children the truth about God, two things happened. First, the parents were held responsible, and the next generation will sin because they did not know the Lord. Verse 18, For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. God's wrath against ungodliness and unrighteousness is demonstrated Adam and Eve. Cain, the unbelieving world before the flood. Sodom and Gomorrah. Nadab and Abihu. Korah. Israel, carried into Assyrian captivity. Judah, carried into Babylonian captivity. And all who rejected the prophet's call back to God. One reason God is furious with the irreligious and immoral is because they suppress the truth. The word suppress means to hinder or hold down. Most preachers do a fairly good job in telling men that they are living in sin and that they are lost, but then withhold the gospel from those who ask, "What must I do to be saved?" by not quoting Mark chapter 16, verse 16. "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." And Acts chapter 2, verse 38. "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin.'" Some people do not want the gospel taught at all, such as Elymas in Acts chapter 13, verses 8 through 11. Others know the truth, but live in willful sin. James chapter 4, verse 17. "Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." All who do not live up to the knowledge they possess, who do worse than they know, hinder or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They are responsible for coming to the place where they are without the knowledge of God. Verse 19, "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." God has revealed himself to mankind, Gentiles as well as to the Jews. The Gentiles had priests, such as Melchizedek, through whom the Lord worked. Jonah preached to the people of Nineveh. Through Lot's daughters, the people of Moab and the Ammonites should have known the true God. In mighty miracles, God manifested himself to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. When God delivered the nation of Israel from Egyptian bondage, it was a revelation to the world. Exodus chapter 19, verse 16, or Exodus chapter 9, verse 16. "But indeed for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth." The knowledge of that event was widespread. Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. "Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to them, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of the Lord has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Ammonites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath.'" What Rahab knew, everyone knew, and had the opportunity to save themselves and their households. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. God has revealed himself through nature and special revelation. In fact, Paul believed that the world was created. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Man can understand that there is a God by looking at the things that God has made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. If one thing exists, then there is a God in heaven. Matter does not have the properties of being eternal. The second law of thermodynamics says that all things are running downhill. Therefore, matter is not eternal, but God is. This evidence is so clear that one is without excuse if he fails to reason that there is a God. It would be unfair for God to create man, demand that man believe in him, but fail to give enough evidence to reach that conclusion. The psalmist said in Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 through 3, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voices are not heard." Verse 21, "Because although they knew God," how did they know God? Certainly not by the natural world only. Suppose we did not have a Bible, and all we had to read was nature and the heavens. What would we know about God? Well, he's an intelligent being, orderly and powerful, but what will we know about his character and nature? What will we think of God when a tornado or hurricane comes through? When volcanoes erupt, idolatrous people think that God is mad with them. Idolatry is the result of man trying to understand God from reading the stars, moon, and sun. The full knowledge of God comes only through revelation. We cannot know the mind of God unless he makes it known to us. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. The word glorify has to do with worshiping God, and thankful has to do with gratitude. How do men get away from the true knowledge of God? Whenever the worship of God is neglected or perverted. Suppose you move to a place where there is no such thing as people worshiping the true and living God on the first day of the week. What would it be like? What kind of people would you expect to live there? Answer, look at our society today. Ungodliness, unrighteousness, immorality, men doing what is right in their own sight. Not only must we worship God according to the New Testament pattern, we must be thankful for his bountiful blessings. Neglect of worship and ingratitude leads men away from God. My friends, it is a frightful thing to think about an individual or nation getting to the place where they forget about the knowledge of God. In my humble opinion, we are one generation away from that very condition. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. The American Standard Version says, vain in their reasoning. Without the divine revelation that God has given us in the Bible, our thinking becomes warped and corrupted. Do you think that our world, without the knowledge of God, is thinking straight? This world has lost its mind. We believe that we are a civilized country. But how civilized are we? Terrorism, drive-by shootings, child neglect, gross immorality and wickedness. Is that civilized? Man cannot think correctly unless he has a knowledge and appreciation for what is in the Bible. sin will not be cured by secular education or more laws on the books. There is only one way to cure the problem of sin and immorality: teaching and practicing what is in the Bible. Yet in most places, it is illegal to read or discuss the Bible. The further people get away from the book, the more pagan they will become. Those who reject God and suppress the truth will spiral downward and eventually out of control. The ungodly and unrighteous who refuse to repent of sin will become futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts will become darkened. Why do some people get to the place where they cannot believe and will not accept God? The answer is right here. Their foolish hearts are darkened. Jesus said, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." Whenever men spurn, reject, and refuse light, there comes a time when their foolish hearts are darkened. Notice what God said about the nation of Israel in Psalm 81, verses 11 and 12. "But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsel." Israel did not want to have anything to do with God. They were tired of Him. When they gave up the knowledge of God, all they had left was their own counsel and wisdom. Jeremiah said, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." When a man forgets God, then he has to turn to his own thoughts and imagination. Romans chapter 1, verse 22. "Professing to be wise, they became fools." We have more education in this country than any other time in history. Yet, apart from the knowledge of God, how has it affected us morally? Whenever we decide that we know more than God, we are demonstrating our own folly and foolishness. Even without the knowledge of God, man is going to worship something. Verse 23, "And changing the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things." Listen to Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 5. "You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." Can you imagine an intelligent human being, made in the image and likeness of God, down on his knees, worshiping creeping things? India has its sacred cow. People are starving, and they refuse to eat the meat. Today, men worship material possessions: the preacher, the pope, church buildings, families, and money. The history of the world is described right here. This is a picture of a world that has rejected God. We need to think seriously about these verses. Which direction is our country going in? Are we getting closer to God? No. Do we appreciate the Bible and pattern our lives after it? Not at all. As a nation, do we glorify God? Are we thankful that He has given us another day of life to repent of sins and obey the gospel? we moving away from God and His Word? Bingo. What kind of world will our grandchildren grow up in? The scary thing is that we have not reached the depths of depravity yet. Man has still not reached the bottom. According to God's Word, there are still lower degrading things that will come. Verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Notice, they gave up God. So God gave them up to vile and unclean practices into which their own unrestrained lust led them. God did not cause their impurities, but He abandoned them to the natural consequences of the lust already working in them. Unrestrained by reverence for and a sense of accountability to God, they had nothing to control them but their fleshly appetite. When man rejects God, God says, okay, I'll leave you to your own way and let you suffer the consequences of your darkened heart. Verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now man is worshiping self. This is humanism. You know, we teach our children to be self-assertive. Let everyone know where you stand. Push them out of the way. Don't let anybody run over you. That's the philosophy of the world, and that is the philosophy of humanism, but that is not the philosophy we read in Scripture. These are some serious, solemn matters that we ought to think about. How faithful to God are we? What are we doing to maintain our love for God? Is Christ first in our homes? Do we teach our children the narrow way of avoiding the appearance of evil? Do others see Jesus living in us? God help us to examine ourselves as to whether we are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you unless you are disqualified? Disqualified from what? Going to heaven. Three times in Romans chapter 1, we read, God gave them up. When the Bible has been rejected, God's love spurned, and a life of sin chosen, God steps back and lets the ungodly and unrighteous head over the cliff of destruction. Let us remember that God is no respecter of person. If this country continues to reject God and pervert the truth, God will give us up to walk in our own ways and one day miss heaven. Let us take heed to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever.